Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallava Girivara Dari Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Gaura Gaura Premanandi Hari 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 Bo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyam Lila Chapter 23, text number 47. Yeah, that's right. Premadika stai bhava samagri milane. Premadika stai bhava samagri milane. Krishna bhakti ras rupe paya pariname. Krishna bhakti rasa rupe paya pariname Premadika stai bhava samagri milane Krishna bhakti rasa rupe paya pariname Please chant. Premadika stai bhava samagri milane Krishna bhakti rasa rupe paya pariname Premadika staivava samagri maivane. Krishna bhakti rasa rupe paya pariname. Ladies. Premadika staivava samagri maivane. Krishna bhakti rasa rupe paya pariname. Anybody else? Okay, word by word translation. Premadika. Love of Godhead beginning with Shanta. Dasya and so on. Staibhava. The permanent ecstasies. Samagri Milani, by mixing with other ingredients. Krishna Bhakti, devotional service to Lord Krishna. Rasa Rupe, composed of transcendental mellows. Paya, becomes. Pariname, by transformation. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the permanent ecstasies, neutrality, servitorship, and so on, are mixed with other ingredients, devotional service in love of Godhead is transformed and becomes composed of transcendental mellows. Please repeat. When the permanent ecstasies, neutrality, servitorship, and so on, are mixed with other ingredients, devotional service in love of Godhead is transformed and becomes composed of transcendental mellows. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the following definition is given. Atasya keshavarater lakshitayam nigadyate samagri pariposhena paramarasarupata viva vaira nuva vaischa sattikair via vicharibihi svadyatyam riti bhaktanam anitta sarvanadibihi esa krishna rattihistai bhavo bhakti raso vave. Love for Krishna, Keshava, as previously described, reaches the supreme state of being composed of mellows when its ingredients are fulfilled by means of vibhava, anubhava, sattvika, and vyavichari. Hearing and chanting are activated, and the devotee is able to taste love for Krishna. Then attachment for Krishna, or permanent ecstasy, staibhava, becomes the mellow of devotional service, Bhakti Ras. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Sararine Om Magyana Temerandasya Yanangyana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has forced to open my eyes with torch-like knowledge. I bow down unto His lotus feet with great awe and reverence. So, this verse, verse 47 of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, say the whole chapter of this chapter, chapter 23, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. And this, the title of this chapter is Life's Ultimate Goal. So this is very highly elevated subject matter. So I'm going to have to, it's way above my, as we say, pay grade or beyond my understanding of things. So I have resorted, but I am a smart guy who have been trained in Sankirtan for many years, so I realize that there are other people that know better than I do, so I'm going to have to talk from the lectures that have been given on this chapter previously. And so I have taken notes of different lectures and of people that have been speaking here on this chapter, and they're very, very smart people. And so I have to give them thanks. Now, this is the one thing that is very nice and very fabulous about this temple, is that we have very good speakers that come by. So please take advantage of it. Listen to class, either you come here or listen online. So any way you can listen to these classes are very, very valuable, because some of these speakers here are really speaking some very, very high realizations, and they are very learned scholars. So I've taken some notes, and I'm going to speak from some of the realizations that were brought up here in the last few weeks here. Specifically, I gave myself a class about 3 weeks ago, and then the class after that was by Krishna Abhishek Prabhu, who you probably know. He's a great scholar, Sanskrit scholar, as well as a scholar of the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's actually one of very much connected to the Bhaktivinoda Library in Calcutta, and he studied the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he is really excellent teacher. I thought he gave a very excellent class about 2 weeks ago, two Saturdays ago, on January 3rd. So I took a few notes from that. Then last week we had a very, very nice class as well by Acharya Das Prabhu, really wonderful class about some of the pastimes with Srila Prabhupada and how he brought these teachings to the West. And then we had the great opportunity of having these two great devotees that just came by our temple, Bhakti Marga Swami. We had wonderful kirtans and lectures. And just this week, Ramapad Swami, he gave a fantastic lessons here, classes last Sunday. And I was fortunate enough to be here on Wednesday, and he spoke specifically about some of the things we're going to be talking about here. Again, this is really above my pay grade in a sense, but you know, when we were having the kirtan just a few minutes ago, I thought, wow, you know, this kirtan is running late, and well, it's taking time of my class, but I thought, well, but this is a Stai Baba. This is, kirtan really is what we are going to be talking about, so might as well have the kirtan through the class anyway, because this is what we are talking about, right? So, but anyway, let's see, because this is a Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class, so we want to get some philosophical background as to why we are acting like that, or why we are chanting in such a way that we sometimes get lost in the kirtan and we start dancing and singing. And as we, I think I was reading here from a previous chapter, I think it was chapter 39 or 40, where I said that the devotee gets lost into the kirtan, into the ecstasy, so to speak, and we act like madmen. And so sometimes people, they don't understand, why are the devotees acting like that? Well, it's because we are being taken by the love of the Godhead, and we are chanting the holy names. The holy names, of course, as we discussed that previously, Srila Prabhupada believed 100% in the holy name of God. It was just his, Harinam was really his main message. Just chant the name of God and you'll become liberated, you become free from all pangs of material suffering and misery. And so he really believed in that. And so when, one, we dedicate ourselves into the chanting of the names of God, then we abandon ourselves into that other aspect that we are going to discuss in a few minutes here, which is Amrita. Okay, so I only have a few minutes to speak about this subject matter, about 40 minutes or so or less. So let me start with some of the realizations that I got from previous classes that were given here. Okay, the class by Krishna Abhishek Prabhu started with, he said, what is love? Good question, what is love? Then he said, well, we take sentiments to be love. Transactions are mistaken as love. Sweet words or suggestions as love. Well, they are all suggestions of love, but love is deeper. You cannot look at the outside world and think it is love. Why? Why would he say that? That is because what he's talking about, these transactions of love, so to speak, nice words and suggestions, in a sense, they are related to the material relationship, the identifications of us as individuals with our persona. And so is always related to me and mine. This is my my children, my wife, my possessions, my house, my job, my. So it is an identification, which is temporary. So is there love? Well, yes, there is a certain aspect of loving relationship, that is correct, but it is temporary. It is temporary because it is related to the material energy. So then he continued, so we must look at the inside of us in order to find that true love. So when someone rejoices chanting the names of God, we get to the first experiences of love. And that's what he said, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur Katz calls the technology of the holy name. So this is what we are doing here. Prabhupada would also say is the science of the holy name, of the science of self-realization. It truly is a science in the sense that if you do this process of devotional service, which is chanting of the holy names from the time you get up in the morning, especially if you come to Mongol Arctic or come to the morning program or chant the names in the morning, they is going to influence your mind over time. As we discussed here 3 weeks ago, it's like there is a fan that is always moving. If you unplug it, that fan is going to continue moving, but less and less until the point where the fan is going to stop. And that's what happens. That's the technology of the holy name. If you keep doing this process of chanting the names, of coming to the programs, association with devotees, serving the spiritual master, and follow the instructions of the Vedic literatures, then eventually your material desires are going to go away. That's what happens. You're basically substituting your desires for being with Krishna, being in devotion, doing and performing devotional activities for activities in the material realm. And that is the nature of it. It's the technology of the holy name. We see, like, for instance, the other day we had a kirtan. It was last week with Bhakti Marga Swami. It was a very, very interesting kirtan. Where when I got there to the kirtan, we were invited to this kirtan. It was organized by Ram Narayan Das and Basanta Mataji. And we got to their house, and I got there, well, we came for the kirtan. I said, yeah. I said, well, do you have a harmonium and a martagram? I said, no, we are not musically inclined, but I'm sure other devotees will bring instruments. I said, oh, man, I could have brought my own harmonium and martagram. I said, well, okay, we'll do what we can. So the devotees came, Maharaj came, we had nice prasadam, and then I said, okay, well, Maharaj wants to have kirtan now, let's go and have kirtan. And so I go to the kirtan and say, well, what are we going to do? We don't have mardangam, we don't have a harmonium. And then there was this Prabhuji, his name is Uddhava, and he said, well, I have a guitar and you have some flute, so maybe we can do something with guitar and flute. And I said, well, guitar and flute, I don't know. I don't know how we are going to get that into a kirtan. But Maharaj is very, I've been to several of his kirtans before, and he is very enlivening. And when he gets into the kirtan, he really gets into that kirtan and into dancing and into chanting the names. And it's like, well, I said, okay, well, we'll try. So before you know it, yes, we were just with a guitar and a flute and Maharaj singing and enlivening everybody to chant the holy names. Well, everybody was dancing there and we were just having a great time. And, you know, I saw, and there were these children that were, you know, maybe 7, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and they were also dancing in the kirtan. It was very, very interesting, which is that... there are certain that when someone rejoices chanting the names of God, we get to the first experiences of love. Those are the first experiences. So when you first come to a kirtan, you come into association with devotees. You get those first experiences of love, where everybody is joining together and chanting together, and it's like a very nice, pleasant experience where you feel like singing the names of God and dancing and being with everyone. So that is the technology of the holy name. That's beautiful. So then Krishna Abhishek Prabhu continues saying that in our lives we have challenges. Mother Nature, of course, arranges us this way. So there are, he said, 5 different buckets of challenges, major challenges that come into our life. Relationships, the help that we may need in certain matters, money, career, that will be the third bucket. The fourth would be factory problems or things that can be fixed, and you know, maybe our car breaks down or we have a problem in our house or plumbing problems, whatever. And the fifth bucket is something that happens that you cannot fix. All of a sudden, the government decides to invade Venezuela, and all of a sudden you're from Venezuela, but you cannot go back to Venezuela. What are you going to do about it? You can't. You have to stay back until things get resolved politically, and then you can go back. So there are things that you cannot fix. You might as well just chant Hare Krishna and wait for the time that is propitious to go back to Venezuela or wherever you're supposed to go. So these problems occupy our mind. We depend on our intelligence to fix these problems. But none of these problems cannot be solved after a certain point. So you have so many problems, but up to a point, you cannot fix these problems anymore. You know, no matter which problem it is, sometimes it's just impossible. And then you have to take another choice or other solution. However, he said, and this is the crux of the matter, this is what we were going to talk about here in this text, number 47, is that if the problems are smaller than you, then it is very easy to fix. When you understand that everything from the point of view of the soul, then all the material problems become irrelevant. It's like you may have a very big problem in front of you, but if you think about from the point of view that you are eternal, and really what is important is the connection with God, to develop that relationship with the Supreme Lord, then if you understand that, then all the other problems, they are just not very important. They are irrelevant. And he gave that example of Hanuman lifted a mountain and said that was a big problem. In other words, he got to, Chitrakoot Mountain, and he needed to collect the herbs in order to save Lakshman and the other devotees that were fighting in Lanka. And he said, well, I don't know which herb that is. I'm not a Kaviraj, so I'll just take the whole mountain. He just took, it was a big problem, but for him, because he was in devotional service and he wanted to do in loving exchange with Sri Ram, he just brought the whole mountain. It was a big problem, but for him, he surmounted that problem because he had reached that state of love of Godhead. So that is a very important thing that we have to remember, that once we connect with Krishna, once you realize that there are two energies, as Srila Prabhupada explains on It's a Journey to Other Planets. There are two energies, the material energy and the anti-material energy or the spiritual energy. And that the material energy is temporary. It is actually not real in the sense that it's finite. But we are not this body, that we are not this material body. We are the spirit soul within. Then once you realize that, all of the other problems that come from connection with the material energy, they become solved. So, and here we go to this understanding, and this is the main point that I wanted to reach of the class that he gave 2 weeks ago. He gave the etymology, basically, of the title, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so, as he mentioned, Chaitanya means consciousness, higher consciousness, in a sense that Lord Chaitanya would be the highest consciousness there is. And then there is Charita Amrita. Charita is the life story or the story, and Amrita means nectar. And the class that Ramapad Swami gave on Wednesday was touching on this subject matter where in the purport Srila Prabhupada is saying that when Vishnu comes to planet Earth, or comes anywhere to give instructions, whatever he brings is amrita. In other words, it's nectar. And that nectar sweetens everything. Everything becomes sweet as nectar, as we say. So, charita amrita. So basically, amrita means eternal, the loving exchanges, the eternal relationship with Krishna. And it is basically another translation for Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita would be the nectarian life story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nectarian. It's the nectar. It's sweet. It is sweet, very, very, very sweet. So how are we going to get there? So when he mentions that, and when I heard the class by Ramapad Swami, I was very fortunate to be here on Wednesday. And then this thing came to me, which is, you know, I'm a musician. I play the bansuri flute. I'm a bansuri wala, so to speak. So my thing is not real Sanskrit. That's why I appreciate this class by Krishna Abhishek, because he was actually discussing the different Sanskrit terms. But then I translated that into my own knowledge of music. I said, well, how does that relate to music? Because music is actually Shastra, and there is a knowledge in music. Because the music, actually, bansuri, comes from Krishna. And Krishna is playing on his flute, and that flute creates all kinds of different emotional states of being. So one of them is this Amrita. Amrita. So Amrita, let's see if I can get it here. So Amrita means nectar, and when these two devotees were talking about Amrita, I thought about this raga that I learned from my teacher, who was a Vaishnava, G.S. Sashtav. He was a very, very great flautist, and I stayed with him, and he taught us this raga called Amrita Varshini, the shower of nectar. Varshini means shower. Amrita means nectar. So the shower of nectar. So when Vishnu comes to planet Earth, he is bringing Amrit Varshini. When Krishna is playing on his flute, he also plays on this raga called Amrit Varshini. It's a very interesting raga because one of the main notes is the fourth note, which is the Tibra Ma, the fourth, the Ma. And the Tibra Ma, the Catholic Church banned it in the Middle Ages. Said, no, we cannot sing that tone. And I wonder why in the world they would ban the fourth, the Tibra Ma, which is so beautiful. It's actually, the way we study it in Indian music, classical Indian music, is that the Tibra Ma brings the devotion, brings the bhakti. I mean, when you hear it, it's a very, very devotional tone. And it brings the Amrita, really. It's like Raga Yaman. There is another raga called Raga Madhu Vanti. Madhu means sweet, Vanti, the sweet nectar of Madhava, which is actually the story of Shrimata Radharani talking with the bumblebee. That's Madhuvanti. And also emphasizes the Tibra Ma, which is the fourth. And I was thinking, well, why in the world they would ban the fourth? The Tibra Ma or the raised fourth. And that's because the raised fourth symbolizes that devotion. See that? That's the Tibra Ma. Thank you. anyway, just wanted to give you an idea as to how Amrit Varshini, the shower of nectar, sounds, how it plays. And Krishna is always playing, of course, on his Bansuri flute, beautiful, beautiful music to attract the conditioned souls and to also to give that knowledge to Lord Brahma. So when he's playing on his flute, Lord Brahma hears that sound. And so when that knowledge of the flute comes in through his ear, then he manifests the Vedas, right? So now, how are we going to understand this? How are we going to get this love of the Godhead, this is Sthayi Bhava, permanent love? Before we we continue, we only have a few minutes here left, but I would like to just mention some of the terminology for some of you that may not know the Sanskrit terms. And this is what Professor Krishna Abhishek said, that Bhava is actually the pastimes of the Lord attract you. Bhava is the love for God. And so this love becomes little by little. In other words, we get the small realizations here and there at the kirtan, maybe prasadam, you have some prasadam, or you're in a wonderful kirtan or a beautiful situation where you start having some kind of experiences, what they call, he calls it sneha. So the sneha is these experiences that you get that is beyond this material world. And so once you get these snehas, these small realizations that there is something beyond this material world, then little by little, you start developing what he called, then you start seeing results, you start seeing things that are palpable in your life, you start understanding there is someone other than yourself here inside of you. Then you start getting these realizations of the Paramatma or the Shri Akashayi Vishnu. And this is called ruchi. Ruchi, when you get certain results, then he says bhava, which is the experiences of love. And when that bhava is more committed and you keep practicing because of the bhava, then it becomes a sthayi bhava. In other words, that bhava becomes more and more permanent. So sometimes, especially when you join this movement, and that's part of the class that Acharya Prabhu was giving yesterday, and I think... hope he can correct me if I say something wrong, but he said when Prabhupada came, most devotees here were very young and they didn't really understand the philosophy so much. But Prabhupada, from the beginning, he started talking in a very, very high level, very high terms. And so a lot of the devotees, although they were very young, they understood that there was something else beyond this material world and they wanted to learn more about it. And so if those who joined early on in the 60s, and then going into the 70s, and they traveled with Srila Prabhupada, they got all of these realizations over time. But of course, they were still very young devotees. They were like children. So I would like to just tell a story, a short story that is very real to me. And I think about it many times. This is what makes me feel like the association of devotees is very powerful and very important. And also, it doesn't matter who your guru really is or was within this movement. We should all respect all the devotees from any guru, from any spiritual master that may have initiated you or done any service into this path, because you are on the path to Godhead, really. I hope you get to the Godhead, you go to the spiritual world in this lifetime, but even if you are next lifetime or 5 or 10 lifetimes from now, would be fantastic. We have been here for many, many lifetimes already, so if you are going to go back in the next lifetime or two, that would be fantastic. But listen, don't wait for the next lifetime. You can get out of here right now, out of the material world, by following these principles of bhakti that Srila Prabhupada has delineated you. So, at one point, many years ago, I was very upset with some of the devotees because they did this or that or the other thing. So, I was not very happy with some of the devotees. So, I got to this realization that Acharya Prabhu was saying last week. A few years ago when I went, I took a group of about 15 people that used to come to our kirtans in Hawaii, and we took them to India. And so, you know, just so that we could continue the preaching work. And so we were in Rishikesh, and some of these people, they wanted to go on a whitewater rafting down the Ganges. I don't know, if you go to Rishikesh, you can hire a boat or with a boat captain and you can go up the Himalayas and you can go down the river. So we did that. And there were about three boats that we took, most mainly from our group, and then there were a couple other people that came along with us. And we were going down the Ganges. And when we were going down the Ganges in this raft, one of our friends, Lorraine, who is a real estate, our real estate agent, said, "Hey, Mahesh, why don't you tell us about the beginning? How did the Ganges come here? Where does this come from? Where does this body of water come from?" So I was very excited, and we were down the Ganges. It was very beautiful, very quiet, super quiet. If you're down there going whitewater rafting on the Ganges, it's like very, very quiet. The only thing you can hear is maybe some birds in the distance, and maybe on the shore you can see maybe a couple monkeys playing in the back, but everything is like super quiet. I thought, wow, this is interesting. Well, I'll tell you the story of Lord Bamanadev and how he pierced the ocean of the Kausal Ocean, and then the Ganges came down to this planet Earth. So I was telling the story, and then all of a sudden the captain, who was a very young man, I would say he was in his mid-20s, and he was very short and very skinny. And he said, "Okay, we are getting down to our first white water. The rocks are in the middle of the Ganges down there, and we have to, please follow directions. Follow instructions so that we can avoid the rocks and we can move to the next set of rocks." So that was the first time that we were supposed to go through this challenge. So all of a sudden, yes, as soon as we hit the rocks, it was like, but you know, the waves of the Ganges, they became furious all of a sudden. It was like we were in very calm water, and then all of a sudden it became like this furious situation where we had to really pay attention and follow directions. And it so happened that the person behind me fell in the water. And he was floating down the river. Now, before we went into the boat, the captain had given us a life vest and a hard hat so that we would be protected somehow. I guess he knew that something may happen like this. So we were going down the Ganges, and I was looking horrified at this. He was an Indian gentleman, and he was just going behind our boat and not really swimming. He was just following the waves of the Ganges that were pulling him from here to there. He was really literally about to drown. And I was like, oh my God, what do we do now? I mean, everything it was so quick and so fast, and we were still fighting with the waves of the Ganges. But then all of a sudden, the captain said, okay, move this way, move that way. He aligned the boat in such a way that he got really close to the drowning man. And in a blink of an eye, and I still can't believe it, that he jumped in that water and he pulled the drowning man out of the water. In a flash, it was like, I couldn't believe it. Before you know it, the man was on the boat. And then he did some CPR. And while I was watching the man, now listen, I was drenched in Ganges water. Now the Ganges water, believe me, is not ordinary water. I was drenched in Ganges, and I realized this is Mother Ganga. Mother Ganga is not an ordinary river. It really isn't. Believe me, it's not. I really could feel that that water had touched the lotus feet of Vishnu. I really could feel. It's like, wow, well, I better just pray and find out what happens, because the man was still coming out of his being in a situation, he was going to drown. He was going to drown. He was going to die. And I look at him, and I realize, well, this young man, just very young, less in his 20s, very skinny, not very strong, he jumped in that water. He pulled that drowned man out of the water. And then I realize, oh, I am that drowning man. I was that drowning man. I was drowning, literally drowning in the ocean of the material world. And this young man, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, jump in that water, and they pulled me out of the water. So they were young. They were inexperienced, maybe. Yeah, they were inexperienced. They were very young. They didn't really know all the intricacies of the literature. But they were very courageous. They had so much courage. Where did their courage come from? It came from, obviously, as the wonderful lecture by Krishna Abhishek Prabhu says, from the mercy of the spiritual master, because he analyzed this beautiful song that we sing every morning. Shri Guru Charana Padma. And then he said, well, Sadma means home, the place of love. That's the guru. That's the guru. So what did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada brought these young men to his home and gave them shelter and saved them from the waves of the material world, which you can drown in those waves. And I was drowning. And when I saw myself in these drowning men, I realized, wow, all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada that were very, very young when they joined, they were very young, maybe they made some mistakes, they were kids. They're, spiritually speaking, they were children. They maybe made some mistakes, but hey, they had to. They were courageous. And Prabhupada loved courage. He really was a very courageous man that loved courage. And so he gave them mercy. So this is where the Stai Baba comes from. The Stai Baba really comes from the mercy of the spiritual master. He's the one who gives you that, the Stai Baba. He gives you that Baba. He gives you that loving exchange. So when you accept the spiritual teacher, you do render service unto him, and you please the spiritual master by your service, then you reach home, the home meaning love, the house of love, the house of Krishna. And it's very, very important to realize that this doesn't really have to do with how much we know about maybe Sanskrit or science or mathematics or whatever other knowledge there is out there. It has to do with the fact that the guru has a certain mercy that comes from Krishna. And I like to conclude here because we are running out of time in a sense. But, you know, I've told this story before, that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was probably the greatest scholar that there was in India back in that time, and probably for many hundreds of years. He was a great, great scholar. In fact, the chair of the astronomy department was reserved for him at Calcutta University. He could recite the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit at the age of 7. I mean, he was incredible. He was an extraordinary scholar. But, you know, he went to Gorakshesh Das Babaji, who was illiterate. He couldn't really read or write. And he said, please give me your mercy. And Gorakshesh Das Babaji was reluctant to do it. He said, no, I don't need a disciple. I don't need to take anybody's karma. You know, I'm just chanting Hare Krishna. And Maharaj went, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he said, well, if you don't give me initiation, then I'll jump from this river. And he was serious about it. He really wanted to jump into the Ganges. And so he went to the bridge and he was about to jump, and Gorakshesh Das Babaji said, no, you don't do that. Don't have to do that. I'll give you initiation. You can become my disciple. Why? Because he understood that Gorakshesh Das Babaji, he was that that house, the house of love, that Satma, that place of peace, of love, that you can be the greatest scholar in the world, but still, after you accept the spiritual teacher, you render service unto him, and you're serve your teacher, and please your teacher by your service, then all the purports of the Vedas are revealed. Because the guru really is the repository of the love of Krishna. So when you develop that love for your guru, then is when the love of Krishna is revealed unto you. Anyway, this is what this Shri Guru Charana Padma song is talking about, Shri Guru Bandana. This is the secret of all secrets. It's like very hard to understand, but that's the way it is. And then we come to the point, and I guess this will be proper to conclude here by saying that the lesson that I learned from my great, great Shiksha Guru and teacher, Bhakti Thirtha Maharaj, who said, yes, that is correct. that the realization that I just told you, I told him the same way. And he says, that is correct. But in our Vaishnava tradition, the guru is actually a person. It has to be, you have to actually surrender to a person, not necessarily, in other words, that yes, you can surrender, because I was bringing up the point that you could surrender to Prabhupada directly, as the Rigvedic tradition says. And Maharaj accepted, yes, the Rigvedic position is correct, except that in our Vaishnava tradition, you have to accept a personal teacher that brings you the teachers, because a personal teacher is the one who is going to bring you back to the Godhead. And Prabhupada also, of course, said that. We have that story that that has been told here in class, where Prabhupada also mentioned, you know, one of the devotees said, well, Prabhupada, we have your books and we have all your instructions. Why do we need a teacher? And then he got up from his chair, went to the devotee, ring his ear. He says, yes, because my books cannot do this to you. So anyway, this is what is important, that that to accept a personal guru. Of course, that is another class for somebody else to give, because it is much more intense. But anyway, had to obtain that Stai Baba, start with that. That was the teaching that I got from all these classes that I've been listening to in the last few weeks, and the teachings from my gurus, that, accept spiritual master, render service unto him, associate with the devotees, keep developing your devotional service, come to kirtan, and then eventually you'll be getting these realizations, these bhavas, this sthayi bhava. What we just experienced, this kirtan a few minutes ago here, was actually bhava in experience because of the chanting of the name. The chanting of the name is very, very special, and nothing can ever replace that in your lives. And once you got this experience, you are going on your way back home, back to Godhead. Maybe this lifetime or some other lifetime, but you are on your way back. But I really wish that you all come back now. This lifetime, don't wait. As Prabhupada said, this world is not a place for gentlemen. You don't want to be here too long. Okay, so I'll conclude right here. If any questions or comments, I'll appreciate that. Hare Krishna. Not maybe we can all have a trip, go to the Ganges and bathe in the Ganges sometime. Okay. You'll get some realizations. Okay, question over there.
I was listening in the car and then walking in, and I didn't catch. Why were you white water rafting on the Ganges again?
I was there because we took a group tour to India. They wanted to see the holy places. And, you know, we went to Vrindavan and then we also, from there, we went to Rishikesh. And then when we were there, there were actually two of the people in our tour group. They said, why don't we go on a whitewater rafting trip? They just wanted to go on the Ganges and come down. So we took we hired a boat company that drove us all the way up. I don't know what the name of that town is, all the way up closer to the where the confluence of the Ganges River, when the Ganges becomes Ganges. So it's maybe about an hour or 2 hours away from Rishikesh. So I'm sorry? Dev Prayag. Yes, Dev Prayag is when the two rivers meet from the Himalayas, and then they create the Ganges. So you get closer up. They knew exactly where to go. And then once we got to that place where they knew, then we had to trek down through the mountains, and we had to carry our boats all the way down to the Ganges. But it was very interesting. Yeah, if you ever go to, I mean, you don't really need to go on a whitewater rafting trip. That's kind of a little dangerous in one sense, so to speak. But even if you just take the charter, the boats that go from one side of the Ganges to another, or even if you go along the river, along the the shore of the Ganges, and just touch the water of the Ganges. Every time that I would touch the water, it was like something. I remember the first time that I was crossing the river and I touched the Ganges. All of a sudden, these ideas like past lives or things that I've done in my life that are not right or that I should change or whatever. Like, whoa, what's going on here? It was like electric. Just touching that water was like something happened in my consciousness. So it's very interesting. That's why we always do Achman. It's supposed to be done with Ganges water, right? So the devotees bring Ganges water in bottles and stuff, and they sell it or they give it to their friends, and then you're supposed to do. When you put Ganges water in your palm and you're offering, you do Achman to offer Arti, you're literally purifying yourself. And that's why if you use any other water, you put your finger in the water and you chant the Guru mantra, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, because that purifies, that makes that water into Ganges water. And you are in other words, you are bringing Vishnu into the water, so to speak. You're bringing Krishna, right? By the mercy of the spiritual master, always by the mercy of the Guru, you're bringing. But it actually is like Ganges once you touch the water with the mantra. Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.